This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome back, Junkies on 106.7 The Fan. We are live on NBC Sports Washington, presented by EMP. 180 Weight Loss, structure, accountability, results. They are the standard for weight loss in the area. It's EMP180weightloss.com. I'm John Paul Flame, joined by Eric Bickle, Johnny Cake Sawville, and Jason Bishop. A little bit later in the show, Mike Rizzo, Nats GM, will join us. When we're talking about the Nationals right now, just kind of a side story. Everybody saw the pictures of Bryce Harper and his wife in Vegas Golden Knights jerseys at the Caps game on Monday night. Of course, Max Scherzer and Ryan Zimmerman, they were in full Caps gear. They even had helmets and
sticks.
That's how you do it. And they led the whole Let's Go Caps chant.
Right.
Meanwhile, it was awesome.
Bryce Harper wearing his Vegas Golden Knights. He is from Vegas. He is a fan. But does it bother you that he kind of was rubbing it in everybody's face by wearing the jersey and everything? Should he have maybe low-keyed
you
it?
Can, now here's
I
the
believe
thing.
He should have low-keyed it.
Me too. But now you can also, to defend Bryce, because I don't want to seem like we're just totally beating up on him. Of course, you can make the argument that he wasn't throwing it in anybody's face. He was just doing what any other fan does, wearing a jersey, going to the game. Yeah. And because he's Bryce, he was on TV.
He didn't ask people to take a picture of him.
He wasn't taunting anyone. And that's fair. That's a reasonable argument. I'm not going to fight you on it. It's just one of those things where it wasn't surprising at all that Bryce was there in his Golden Knights jersey. All of a sudden,
if there's one player for the Nats that you would say would do something like it, it'd be Bryce.
Right. And again, he's from Vegas. Yeah. Everyone in the world knows he's from Vegas.
I don't know why
that's
I would bother
his,
people.
That's his
that
team.
Much.
Yeah. It's fine.
It doesn't bother me. When people go to hockey games, they wear hockey sweaters of the teams they like. Yeah. Bryce likes the Golden Knights, so he wore it.
Yeah. Right.
I mean, you know that's
what?
It.
Yeah. I'm not saying you boo him. I'm not a booer. What you do, whatever you do. I would have low-keyed it because I've been a guest of the Caps multiple times. Free tickets from the Caps, multiple. I guarantee he was there on free tickets from somebody.
Mm-hmm.
I would have personally low-keyed it, especially when this area is so starved for a winner. Like this game, that game was the biggest game in 20-some years here.
Correct.
And if there's a game six, it'll be that much bigger. So he stuck out like a sore thumb to me, and it did seem like he was trolling a little bit. Just like when he took the picture with Chris Bryant and he put in there, can't wait to play with him
play with
one
him.
Day.
Right.
What does that mean?
That's his buddy.
I know. You can make that argument, too. But I think he likes to tweak people a little bit.
Yes.
He likes attention dollars.
All right, let's see what the fans say about this. 800-636-1067.
But at the end of the day, we're only talking about it because there's no game for another day or so.
It's a shame the learners can't pay him in attention dollars.
Right.
Right?
And I've signed up yesterday.
But Drabby's right. I have kind of separated myself from Bryce because I know he's leaving.
And by the way, they can pay him in real dollars, too.
That's your version
of real dollars.
That's your version. That's your baseball version of what you did with Kirk.
At the end.
Yeah.
I still thought I was dumb enough to think they were going to pay Kirk. But I know they're not going to pay Bryce. I know that. All right, let's go to Bill in Springfield. Bill, what's up?
Well, as an aside, my wife and I go to a lot of different stadiums for both baseball and football. And I'm very selective at best as to whether I'll wear my home team jersey. I'm a Cleveland fan. I err on caution 9 out of 10 times. Baltimore fans are pretty cool about it. I don't really know about the fans with Bryce, but I'm thinking that those Caps players got to be looking at that and kind of thinking it's kind of a douchey move.
Exactly.
And if it's a seventh game of a World Series and a prominent Redskin is sitting behind home plate and it's the Nats and the Indians – all dressed up in his Indians gear, you know, that's not going to be kind of, not creepy, but just almost a little disrespectful. They're pro athletes. They should kind of respect each other. There's nothing wrong with going there and rooting, but wearing the uniform, it's kind of unnecessary. But that guy has always,
I agree.
That guy's always been like that. And, hey, before you let me go, Jason, I got to tell you about a sweat bet.
All right.
I thought it was a pretty good one. I go to Vegas every year, and pretty much I'm done with blackjack and all that crap. And I used to play. I was a very good player. But I hopped on the Dodgers under 96.5 for a fairly good amount. But they're 30-30. I'm actually feeling pretty good. They have been winning, but their pitching staff's in really bad shape.
Oh yeah.
I think that one's going to come in under 96.5. And believe it or not, Westgate's got the over and unders on the NFL. And I'm telling you, I'm going to take a hard look at the Skins at. They're either going to be 6.5 or 7. And I would actually take a hard look at that this year.
Well, if they're 6.5, I would absolutely. I can't imagine.
You would actually.
Oh, yeah.
There's better than over?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, we're talking over under. Yes,
I can't imagine that they're going to go 5-11. I can't.
That's 6-10. Yeah, me too. But yeah, it was a choice. When I went up to make the bet, I was said, "How are the Nats getting any action?" He said they were one of the teams that were really being hammered hard at. I think it was at 93.5. I was surprised. He said that was a big play that they had out there.
Well, your Dodger bet's a lock. That's a 100%.
I hope so. I hope so, man. Anything can go wrong, but they're 30-30. I literally am going to put a board up on my wall and just I need to count out 38 losses.
How much did you put on it? Out of curiosity,
a fair amount, more than a G.
Nice,
yeah, that's good.
All right, well,
yeah,
you're going to win that.
Yeah, fair amount.
All right, buddy.
All right, thanks, man. Appreciate it, buddy.
All right, see you.
By the way, there's a website called. PropSwap.com. So if you put a futures ticket in Vegas, let's just say you put $100 on the Vegas Golden Knights
right
before the season starts to win the Stanley Cup, and let's just say it was, you know, it's worth $50,000 right now, whatever, you can go on this website and you can put it up for sale and people will bid on it.
It's a buyout.
It's a buyout. So one guy bid $17,900 for this ticket. All right. I think it was before the cap series started.
For the Vegas ticket.
Yes.
Okay.
Because it was a futures bet.
Right.
And if it wins, let's say it's worth $50,000.
Mm-hmm.
Guy turned it down.
Oh, he wishes he had it now.
Mm-hmm.
Now the series isn't over.
I know.
Still have to win one more.
He had $18,000 in his pocket.
But it's not looking very good for him. He basically has a 3% chance to win that bet.
Yeah.
All right, who's up next?
Let's go to Dan in Reston. Hey, Dan, what's up, buddy?
Hey, morning, guys. How are you?
What's up,
doing
Dan?
Good.
Hey, yeah, this whole Bryce situation is like a 0.0 on the, Richter scale. To me, I couldn't care less. I don't think he was rubbing it in anybody's faces. You know, he wore a jersey, but he was up in a suite with a bunch of people EB probably knows just watching the game quietly.
So, I probably do.
He wasn't on. Well, I'm sure you do. You're a multimillionaire, big time DC celebrity. The guy, he wasn't on like the ice.
That's
he wasn't, you know, on the board. So that analogy that guy was putting out there, like an Indians fan sitting behind home plate. He's quietly up there in a suite alone.
Right.
He's not putting it on social media. And then JP's hypothetical was just so outrageous.
No, I think he actually did put it on social media. I think he did put a picture.
What did he put?
It was just a picture of he and his beautiful wife in their Golden Knights jerseys.
I did the same thing Cakes did then. Everybody puts it on social media. I'm not, still, once again, zero, non-issue.
Listen, you're right. It's okay. Not a big deal. It's just something there's nothing going on. All right. So we're talking about between games. No one cares.
The rest of his life, schedule-wise, this will never happen again. Having an off night in the Stanley Cup Finals, able to go see his team. I mean, that's the other issue, too.
By the way, I had no problem with him going to see his team. What I would do is, if I was him, and I'd been a guest of the Caps so many times with all those free seats they've given him, undoubtedly, I probably would have just gone and not worn the jersey. But
the Caps do that, you know, quid pro quo. They want to have him there, too. You know what I mean? It's not exactly like, oh, he's
they do.
You know,
they do. 99% of the other times. Not sure that they necessarily wanted him there in his dumb Golden Knights jersey
so
that
Dan,
night.
Do you have a problem with my ridiculous he flies to Vegas for game 5 and makes it back for Friday night's game?
Yeah, I mean, come on, JP. Yeah, when he's hitting 230, two nights of plane travel to get to a game late when his job is to play baseball, yeah, I'd have a problem with that.
Well, he wouldn't get to the game late.
He would get to the
Well, not the game late. He would get to the stadium. He wouldn't be able to get to his normal warm-ups, his normal, you know.
He could if he slept, if he flew overnight. If he flew overnight, he could make it.
If he flew overnight and, you know, 2 days of travel for –
not baseball activities, that would be an issue. Yeah.
They travel all the time anyway.
Thanks, buddy.
JP, it's
they travel between series.
It's a ridiculous thought.
Right, it's something you would do because you try. It's just the way you operate in life. You squeeze a lot in a short time frame. But you're not necessarily going to be prepared.
Rest is so huge for these guys.
I was almost, and I'm not going to be there. I'm going to sound like I'm 100. But I was almost a little surprised that Max pitched the next day after hooting and hollering. I was a little bit, I was like, I think it's fine. But I did. I thought about it for a second.
It crossed your mind.
It did cross my mind. I know I'm sounding like an old curmudgeon.
Yeah, right. He's a cyborg, that guy.
He's a maniac. Yeah. And no one ever questions his desire or effort or anything, so you just shut up.
Right.
But you know what I mean? JP always thinks I'm silly about this, too. I don't really like it when the guys in the NFL, they're out partying, you know, like a Friday night before a Sunday game.
Yeah.
I think, you know, I don't think an Olympic athlete would do that. And maybe some of these maniacs, maybe Michael Phelps would.
And we've heard some stories about what the Wizards players do.
We have heard stories.
Yeah. Night before games.
I think somebody knocked a drink out of Awan's hand many times at Don Tito.
Right. Exactly.
About 6'7", kind of skinny.
Likes to fix cars.
Allegedly. This is all alleged.
Yeah. Let's go to Joel Winchester. Joel, what's up?
Hey, morning, Junks. I'm just calling in reference to the comment about the diehard Nats fans and you know, being really wishy-washy and scared, you know, and upset when people pick on Bryce Harper. But
that's true.
I've been watching the Nationals since their inception, and I think most of the diehard Nats fans that that I speak with, we're not upset. We don't care because we realize, especially with Juan Soto, we recognize that he's really, you know, I don't see him having a huge impact when he leaves the organization, because we're all pretty certain that he's not going to be around. And I just...
You're kind of like writing him off silently, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Like I said, I think that the diehard fans recognize that he's not that important, really. And he's not having a stellar season. You know, he's very hot or cold. He's starting to swing at things outside of strike zone a whole lot. I don't know. Yeah,
he does have 17 or 18 home runs.
I think he leads the majors in bombs, doesn't he?
He leads the National League.
He does. Yeah. I mean, is he hitting for average? What is his
No,
average?
No, he's not.
I think Mookie Betts leads the league.
I think he's hitting .227.
JD Martinez leads
the league. Oh, yeah, JD Martinez, 19.
Oh, he's a great player.
He's a feared hitter.
He's a great player.
He's a feared power hitter, but he's not a great all-around hitter.
There's no doubt about it. I'm just kind of personally kind of writing him off. I'm just looking at it from afar and going, you know what, it's – Bryce Light, he's a flashy kind of guy. Images every, you know, this is what he does. He likes it.
Is Victor Robles the forgotten man since Soto's on the scene?
Yeah, for now.
Yeah,
for now, but when they lose Bryce and they get Robles out there, everyone's going to be sized for him.
Mm-hmm.
Sized for Robles. We get those T-shirts going? Let's go to Sean Manassas. Sean, what's up, buddy?
Hey, how are y'all doing this morning?
Hey, Sean. Doing great.
What's up?
Let's go Caps.
Yeah.
Hey, just calling about Bryce Harper. I heard a comment earlier about some of the fact of being any other fan, and he's not any other fan. He's in the public eye, and he has to know when he's throwing that jersey on, people are going to take issue with it. And if he throws it on, I think it's a troll, kind of a middle finger thing.
Well, he knows he was just supporting his team. But
he is. He knows people are going to have a problem.
He knows
with it.
There's going to be a response.
Yeah.
The second he
and
slips
he doesn't
it
mind
on.
It.
But I mean, at the end of the day, does it really bother you?
Not so much. But I mean, I guess like EB, it irks me a little. I mean, I'm not losing any sleep over it.
Right.
I'm
you shouldn't.
Just
you shouldn't.
But it was
it's
better.
Issue.
He could have low keyed it.
But
he
it was
didn't
better.
Have to wear the jersey.
It was
that's
better.
What I'm saying.
Yeah.
He can be a fan all he wants of Las Vegas. I don't care. Don't wear the jersey to the game. That's just kind of disrespectful.
In Vegas, wear the jersey.
Yeah.
Everybody's rocking the red. The whole arena.
Whole arena and two people.
Yep.
Bryce right. and
the I mean, there were like 100 Golden Knights fans there in the whole building.
Tops, yeah.
I mean, I didn't see very many.
All right. We'll take Warrior calls next at 800-636-1067.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. and great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
I can't remember who said this about our show. I believe it was Peter from Burke, that we specialize in death, dongs, and divas.
Yeah, the three Ds.
And during the break, it was one of those death conversations. And I didn't chime in because I wanted to save it for the air, because my wife was fascinated with that Kate Spade case last night. And I was like, what are you doing? She was literally online for a half hour trying to figure out how people hang themselves with a doorknob.
No, I think I figured it out. You put the you attach it to the doorknob and go over the other side.
Your theory was what I said to her, but then she actually, I just think it's just morbid. She just kept clicking online.
Did she look it up?
Some people do it basically sitting down.
Yeah.
I have a morbid curiosity.
So they're not necessarily going over a ledge. Like that was my theory. The unsophisticated way. Well, you just find a doorknob and just throw yourself over.
I shouldn't want to know the details.
But it was with a scarf.
How does a scarf hold?
I don't know. I want to know the details.
You do. And would you want to see pictures? Like, if they released a picture of Kate Spade.
Look, I would look. Kate
watch beheading.
Yes.
I would look.
He watched the Daniel Pearl video.
Yeah.
I did.
Yeah.
Not happy that I did, but I did. I have a morbid curiosity with things like that, with details.
Yeah.
I would look at Chris Cornell's body if they had, like, morgue scene photos. I just would.
Well, it's a terrible story. Honest. Anybody who commits suicide, it's sad.
Of course.
She had a 13-year-old.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know that there was a suicide note.
There was.
There was.
Oh, there was a note.
To the daughter.
He wrote the note to her.
And the thing is, I was telling Jason, like, you know, we all have family members, I'm sure, that have gone down this road. And it's horrifying. I have a first cousin, who committed suicide and left two little ones. I just don't understand how you do that. Especially, mm-hmm. I could say maybe... you know, you just maybe in that moment you're not even thinking about your kids. But when you're writing a suicide note to your 13-year-old daughter, you know you're going to leave your 13-year-old daughter motherless.
Mm-hmm.
And then God only knows. I mean, okay, you're wealthy, so you'd be taken care of on some level. But how do you know that she's going to be nurtured and cared for? You know what I mean? The way a mother does. I don't even know how you can do that.
Because you're so unhappy with the world. We can't comprehend that mentality. But she's so unhappy with the world, that stuff doesn't matter. And I would think you got to be heavily medicated to do something like that.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know the details. It's going to take weeks before you get the coroner's report.
Incredible selfish move, too. I mean, to do that to your kid.
But it is mental illness.
Yeah, you're just unhappy.
They say
and
documented depression. Like, her close friends and family knew she was battling depression. So it's nothing to make fun of.
She actually sold her brand 10 or 11 years ago.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
filthy rich.
Millions of dollars.
Filthy rich.
But now that
she started her brand in her apartment,
they're saying, I'm not sure if it's true. And so she was married to David Spade's brother,
right?
And
Andy, was it Andy Spade?
Andy That's Spade, right. I think.
By the way, Andy Spade is the one who convinced her to start the line she started. What was it? Pocketbooks or mm-hmm. what they would call bags or whatever. He convinced her to do it.
Right. But apparently, what I saw last night before I went to bed was that part of the impetus for this was that he had asked for divorce or something. I saw that last night. And I don't know if that's confirmed, but I saw that on one of the blogs or whatever. So imagine how he's feeling.
I thought the company wasn't doing well either.
Well, she sold Kate Spade to either Coach or one other big brand years ago for like $650 million. And then that got sold to another company.
Right.
So maybe it's not doing great now, but she hasn't been affiliated.
She's fine.
She had
years.
Money.
She's
yeah, she
fine.
She started a new brand.
Yeah.
A year or two ago.
She named after her 13-year-old daughter, I believe.
Well, maybe the new brand's not doing well. Maybe, I thought I read something that
look, I'm sure it's maybe. I'm sure it's a lot of stress.
I read a little of it. And like I said, my wife was knee deep in it, was pulling like a cake, and I was like, "What are you doing?" And she shows me a picture of somebody like hanging.
You know what?
Basically,
she's
sitting down.
Sitting. She is yeah.
Doorknob.
Your boy's curious,
right?
That's all.
Yeah, this is the morbid curiosity that you have.
She could have done it that way. Who knows? But I think Eric's theory is probably correct.
More accurate. No, I think I might be wrong because I don't think this is what troubled me when I was tossing a turning. How do you get a scarf all the way over?
Right.
You know what I mean?
Could have been a long one. Maybe it was multiple scarves.
It could have been like a prisoner.
She tied him together.
A prisoner. I don't know. It's horrible. Mental illness is the worst. Depression. I have family members with depression. Hell, I think I get depressed.
This is the same. This is the same question we ask ourselves. We do it all the time when we hear a story of, you know, kids going into schools and just going to shoot 20 people.
Yeah.
You know, well, how could someone do that? Or if someone goes to the street in a drug deal and just shoots someone in the head, do you really think you're going to get away with it?
They clearly don't value human life. They don't value their own life.
Well, right.
So they clearly don't value, you know, the 10 or 15 people they're going to mow down.
Right, and it's kind of the same thing here.
Yeah. No, it's terrible.
I don't know.
It's awful.
But we never comprehend
it. It's impossible to comprehend. The part that troubles me the most is just leaving your child. I believe that was an only child, too. So I can't imagine, you know, motherless.
I
don't know how you do
that. Can't imagine writing that letter. It's one thing to just
write the letter and do it.
Yep.
I mean, are you kidding?
It's one thing to shoot yourself. I mean, that you're instantly gone, but to put the scarves together and tie them up, you're going to struggle for a few minutes.
I don't even know. I thought when people hang themselves, they die from like a broken neck.
I'm sure that's probably part of it.
I haven't looked into it that deep. The only experience I have from it is Homeland in season 3, which was the demise of Brody.
Well, I mean, he was hanging from like a caterpillar piece of construction yes. equipment. That was
instant.
There was no doubt about that.
Yeah.
I mean, he's hanging 50 feet in the air with a rope
around
his neck.
Like in Iraq.
I'm sorry if I gave away the ending.
Like in Iraq, when they were hanging all the Saddam's guys. I think like the guy before Saddam, his head popped off.
Yeah. Well,
because
I think
they didn't measure it properly. And it dropped so far, head popped off.
Yeah. I think that's the force in the drop that does that.
Yeah, right.
Horrible story.
It's a morbid story. And we've lost all our listeners. Who wants to listen to that morbidness?
It's been a staple of the show for years.
Yeah, but it's
Bryce's
too much.
Jersey.
Can we switch gears for a second?
Yeah,
can you play
please.
Holly Saunders saying sexual qualifying instead of sectional qualifying? Now, if you don't know who Holly Saunders is, she used to work for the Golf Channel. Now she works for Fox Sports. She married some douchey broadcaster dude, too. I can't remember that guy.
Eric
had a show.
Eric Casilius,
Eric Casilius.
Are they still together?
Don't know. They were dating. I don't know if they're married. Whatever.
That guy was kind of a big silly at ESPN.
He had a little thing going.
2 years.
He had a little thing going, and then he kind of disappeared. But she's one of the, you know, like the blogosphere, the busted coverages, the bar stools, they get a kick out of Holly Saunders, right? Because she's a hot chick, like usually dressed inappropriately, you know, interviewing some golfer or something. So here she's talking about sectional qualifying. And she has a little slip up.
Head to www.usopen.com. Everything will be there. The entire days of sexual qualifying. All right, we're going to take a look at some more of the results today, guys.
She didn't correct herself.
She didn't correct herself.
It was hot.
It sounded like she knew it, but she didn't want to go back and highlight it.
She definitely knew it.
She knew it.
And a pro doesn't. You know, I think a pro generally just plows through.
Mm-hmm.
You know, an amateur like me, I would go, oh, sorry. I mean, sectional qualifying.
Yeah.
Golly knows what I was thinking there. So.
That's funny.
I don't know why that makes me laugh.
She puts up pictures all the time.
Of sexual qualifying.
Well, the pause says it all.
Yeah.
Right there.
By the way, you got to be, I had it on for about 5 minutes. You have to be a loser to watch FS1's coverage of the U.S. Open qualifying.
Yeah, I mean,
they go around the world and they go look at the leaderboards to see who gets in.
Slow day for Matt Valdez.
So you were watching?
Yeah, they were highlighting Adam Scott qualifying.
Right. Where did he qualify?
This is Matt Valdez.
Columbus, I think. I could be wrong. I might have
golf
seen that headline.
Well, that makes sense because he was playing the Memorial.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, I saw a headline. I wasn't watching Holly Saunders or whatever her name is.
Say Holly Saunders and qualifying. Shane Bacon.
Hey, since we're talking to Valdez and Drab, you can get on the mic too. I'm curious.
This is Matt Valdez.
How is the Venmo campaign going for not playing Get That Stanley?
I mean, have you guys?
I saw somebody tweet
can
saying
you guys
Venmo
out,
you $5.
Can you throw out your Venmo addresses?
Yeah.
We'll put them on Twitter and I'll retweet them to try to get the ball rolling here.
Our Venmos are Drab T-shirt
and Valdez Radio.
And the reason why we're accepting donations is because we're responsible for this Caps Stanley Cup run.
Because
for not playing Get That Stanley.
Directly responsible.
And people don't understand the amount of pressure and hate mail we got when we stood up to
It's a great song.
It is a great song.
Great song. And you guys, for
and,
some
and there's
reason,
and there's multiple renditions.
Hate mail.
I can make the argument the playoff beards by radio hosts were jinxed.
You should have picked that back in April.
I did. I stopped doing it.
Well, you could have stood
you know,
by.
You should throw out your Venmo.
I just want to know, yes, how much have you brought in?
We've got about $35 each.
Nice.
So that's progress is a process, but we're still accepting donations.
35 is that's more than zero.
People,
it's not bad.
People have given them money to not play
the dumbest thing ever.
We're so responsible for this run.
But the idea
it was a conscious effort to not do it.
If they skate the cup, that's when you want to play it.
Yeah, and you'll also get your name set on air. Jason Feldman, Alex Davis, and John Kim.
That's
what it is.
You get some ADs.
You guys have mentioned that. Each of you have the same donors.
And what we do is sometimes they'll just donate to me, and then I have to go tell them, well, you got to donate to Drab as well.
Right. All right, so go ahead. I want you to name the losers again.
Alex Davis, Jason Feldman, John Kim, Michael McCloskey, and Ryan Dempsey, all winners.
Because they've donated.
You too can have your name set on the radio.
Yes. I think and the suggested donation is $8 for Ovi.
I like the bet.
So stupid.
It's not too much. It's $8. It's not gonna hurt anybody to donate $8. Actually $16, $8 for each of you. I like it. You guys are approaching this the right way.
I'm going to tell you a quick story real quick.
We're so nubs.
A quick story real quick?
Well, I'm looking at the clock.
You got plenty of time.
I don't want to say who, but someone called me, and they said they were representing a service that I get at my house.
Okay, right.
And I was like about ready to hang up on them, but then they said what they said intrigued me. It was like to upgrade this service.
Right.
And it wasn't going to cost me anything. But they, you know, did that. Was I interested in this if I had this issue? And I said, you know what? I actually am interested in that service. And so they went on this whole thing, and then make an extremely long story short, we set up an appointment.
Thought it was a quick story, quick.
Well, I'm going to do it quick. We set up an appointment, and they said, kind of the catch at the end was, it's not going to cost you anything, but you have to write a check. Whenever we come, it's going to cost you $170, but we refund you $600 or whatever it is. It's some weird, bizarre thing.
Right.
We're going to take away like $30 a month off your bill for the next 3 years. So even though you're paying us $150 up front now, we're going to write that off your bill for the next 3 years. And then it's going to be, you're actually going to save $400, whatever it was, right? I wasn't even really interested in the savings as much as I was the upgraded service, okay, what they were going to provide me. Okay, so we go through this whole thing. It sounds kind of shaky, but I don't know. I set up an appointment, and the appointment was yesterday. It was supposed to be, they were supposed to show up between 12 and 1. So I'm sitting there at my house. I got there at like 11 o'clock, and it's like 2:30. And I'm like,
no word, nothing.
They're not coming. I mean, they're just not coming. And I call the company, and I say, I think I've been scammed. Do you have any record of an appointment for me? No, zero record, no appointment. And then I'm going back over the phone call. And I'm talking to my wife. I go, she told me at the time, I think you got scammed. And I said, why? I didn't give him anything. I didn't give him any money. I didn't give him any account numbers because I don't know an account number. Is it? Now, here's one thing.
Did they ask you to give up
front? I don't remember. I honestly don't remember. And I was kind of conscious at the time because now anytime someone calls you, you always assume it's a scam, right? Because they're calling you. Mm-hmm. You didn't call them. They're calling you. But they kind of hooked me because it was something that I did want for my service.
They had an enticing offer.
Yeah. So they kind of did hook. Now, the only thing that I might have done, and this probably could do me in, and I'm probably busto today.
She enticed me.
I don't know that they did this, but it's possible they asked me to confirm my last four digits of my social. Now, I would never give anybody my whole social. But it's possible I gave someone my last four digits. Is that enough to just bankrupt me?
I hope so.
Right.
But I have no idea. I would think not.
I think if they just has the last four digits, they might still be able to hack into your personal information.
I probably busto today.
Have you checked your accounts? I would check your accounts.
Are you sure they didn't ask you for a credit card number up front?
Yeah. Like, Yeah.
They didn't ask?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, because I'm not going to pay when I got the
obviously,
but I can't
only
figure
one
out the scam.
Service
I can't
figure
out the scam.
EB would be interested in upgrading. It has to... It had to do with that.
It has
right?
something to do with that.
Of course.
Yeah, of course.
What else do you
but
want
to upgrade? But I don't want to say because I have multiple.
I know.
I have a lot of stuff going on with that.
Yes, you do.
And I have some endorsement opportunities with someone.
Ooh, endorsement opportunities are
so
good.
I don't want to, not with this, but, you know. Anyway, what was the scam? How did they get, they scammed? Somehow
maybe the guy
got
scammed. Lazy.
Somehow thought, I got, or just gave up on me.
He thought you were
going to
get a check. The next day, he just didn't show up. Maybe he caught so many fish he didn't need you at the end of it.
Somebody knocked on my door the other day, and they wanted to provide some service. I can't remember what it was. And I told him to talk to my wife. It sounded like a good deal.
Holy moly!
What are you doing? She says it's actually even. It might even be against the law. They're not allowed to solicit like that. Just like knock on your door.
You're telling me they're breaking the law, Valdez? It's a perfect opportunity.
Is that true?
To play that.
She said they're not even allowed to knock on your door and just sort of cold call you like that.
I don't know.
And I feel like people do that all the time.
Oh, people call me all the time.
Is no, when... not a call, but I'm saying knock on the door.
Oh, people knock on my door all the time.
All the time.
And my dog barks and scares them away.
So here's the thing. And then this guy that was trying to scam us. People was trying to scam me all the time. I said, you know what? I'm actually interested. It was some service for like $100. I can't remember what it was. Oh, I think it was to get rid of like bugs or termites or something, whatever it was. It was like this time of year, you know, a lot of ants. You have a lot of ants in your kitchen or something. I go, your basement. I went, you know what? I could probably use that. How much? He said, well, it's normally 8,000. We cut it down to 1,000. Today it's 100. Right? And I went,
right. 99% off.
Right? And I went, but I got to do it, you know, the whole bit. I got to do it today. I was listening. I ain't doing nothing. I got to talk to the boss. But let me give me your card, and I'll call you, because for $100, I'm the kind of size for you to get rid of any ants. He's what he told me. We're a green company. We don't have any cards. And then,
that's when you slam the door in his face. Say, if you don't have a business card, get out of here.
I'm still so stupid. I said, come back on Monday.
So he's going to come back.
Ants march.
Yeah, I was... That's a good
Everybody
one.
Has the ants marching occasionally.
Of course.
You get some ants marching in your basement.
They're so tiny, they can come in your house anytime they want.
All of a sudden, they're around your sink or something. Right. What happened? $100 seemed like a good
deal. Let us know how that goes. Hopefully, you did get scammed and you're
probably busted.
Down $20,000 today.
All right, remember, coming up at 8:45, we'll give you a chance to win some tickets to go see U2 in concert. Mike Rizzo, Nats GM at 9 o'clock, all right here on the Junkies. Welcome back. Junkies on 106.7 The Fan. We're live on NBC Sports Washington. Mike Rizzo, Nats GM, will join us coming up at 9 o'clock. We did the Junkies Sports page right around 6:30. And just a little note that you didn't get to that I thought was worth mentioning. Eric and I both went to the University of Maryland, and a guy that we watched hit a bunch of three-pointers for the Terps was Sarunas Jasikevicius. He apparently is one of the leading contenders to take over as the head coach of the Toronto Raptors.
So great.
I wasn't even aware he was coaching.
Yeah, it's so
great. Yeah,
it's
awesome.
I think he's been coaching like a Lithuanian pro team or something, or their
national
team.
EuroLeague.
Yeah.
Excuse me. What's so amazing about Sarunas is he was kind of like the Maryland faithful and the fans loved him. I mean, who didn't love him? This European kid that come out of nowhere and just shoot threes. But he had a lot of personality. He was kind of a clown. You know what I mean? Like a fun, clowny kid.
It's likable.
I had him when I was a grad student at Maryland. He was one of my jobs there was to work in academic support with the athletes, and I just helped monitor the study hall. He was one of the kids in my study hall, and he was a great kid, but he was like kind of a goof. So to see him now, first of all, have that career, that international career, which was spectacular.
He was really good in the Olympics, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And he played a little bit.
Really
he played for a few years in the league. But had a spectacular international career, like literally a superstar in his country, in his home country. And to now be like this respected coach, it's kind of bizarre.
He's matured. He's 42 years old now.
He matured.
Yeah.
Because he was a clown.
He's not the same donk he was when he was in college.
He was
Park.
A complete donk.
And if he got that job, that's a good team. I mean, their head coach got hoard. I think, didn't he win Coach of the Year?
Yeah.
Dwayne Casey?
Did he win? Yeah, he won.
He got swept by LeBron.
59 games or
okay,
something.
Happens. Cleveland owns the Raptors.
Yeah, they just
yeah, he got
decided they
he was
want...
He was the fall guy. He was the scapegoat.
They wanted to make a change.
What happened to the donk? Was it David Blatt? Who was the guy that was the coach of the Cavs?
Blatt, yes. That's right. Yeah.
Where is he
Who
coaching like
he
some
is.
European team now or something?
I'll have to look him up.
Or Israeli team or something?
Good question. He was interviewed for the... He was interviewed for a job, maybe the Knicks job?
Right. I would think
he's the head coach for Darussafaka of the Turkish Super League.
They could hire.
Makes sense.
They could hire Ricky Pitino. Wonder if he would do it.
Chicken, turkey.
I saw John Beilein is being considered for the Pistons job.
Right.
He's one of the final three.
Right.
I think Juwan Howard might be in the mix.
I mean, Juwan's been grinding. Right. Went straight from playing to assistant coaching. Gotta give him a shot.
When you see names, guys that have made hundreds of millions of dollars,
I know,
that just love it.
That, I know, it's crazy. It's a life. It's a lifestyle.
Jerry Stackhouse is one. Who's being considered for jobs?
I mean, Johnny Dawkins didn't make as much, but Johnny Dawkins had a great career. You know, made some good money and right away, right into the coaching. You know, Patrick
Ewing. What else are you going to do?
I know, it's a lifestyle.
Ewing.
It's their life.
Ewing's assistant forever.
Hey, it's less time for Jerry Stackhouse to get into an altercation with a real estate agent. Remember that?
That's right.
When did that happen? I don't remember.
He thought that he had like an 8-day rental. It was like a 7-day rental, like every other rental that's ever happened.
But it was a Saturday. He wanted that extra Sunday.
It was like a dust up between him and like some booking agent.
Right.
Well, I don't know why I remember that.
Didn't the agency come to the house and say, you got to leave?
Probably.
Said, no, I got it for another day.
Right.
Oh, I'm sorry, stack. I got another rental.
But the names, I guess, that are being considered for the Raptors job, I wasn't familiar with any of them except for Sarunas, who most people aren't familiar with. So maybe he's got a shot interviewing some obscure coaches. I mean, maybe they're not obscure in coaching circles, obviously.
I'm
but
sure they're not.
Never heard of these guys.
You talked about brain tumors earlier. Why do I have like a blockage in my brain? I don't ever remember Jerry Stackhouse playing for the Wizards. Like he played for three seasons.
Yeah.
Like, I don't have anything in my mental bags of remembering Jerry Stackhouse playing for this franchise.
Was he there in the Gill era?
Oh, they traded Rip Hamilton for him. It's the Jordan years, right?
I don't remember a lot about Jerry Stackhouse suiting up for the Wizards.
Did he play alongside Jordan? There was some sort of Jordan connection there, right?
I think so.
I barely remember Jordan.
Jordan traded.
The Jordan years.
My recollection is Jordan traded Rip Hamilton because he didn't want to mess around with the guy who was developing for Stackhouse, who had been around for a little while.
From his Carolina connection.
By the way, Yasikevich is competing with, I guess, if you call it competing, with Nick Nurse, who's an assistant coach for the Raptors, Edior Messina, and Ime Udoka as candidates for the
Raptors.
Those
are the leading candidates?
Yes.
It sounds like a bunch of numbers. I think Yasikevich is in the lead.
Yeah, but Udoka is coming from the Spurs. Usually those guys are pretty good.
Edior Messina from the Spurs.
I thought the woman from the Spurs was getting some run. Yeah. She's getting some looks.
She did. I think she got some interviews.
Maybe was a good candidate.
Mm-hmm.
Becky Hammond?
Yeah, I think she got one with Milwaukee, maybe a couple other teams.
Dude, I'm looking at the roster for when Stackhouse is here. What years did you say Stackhouse?
02-04.
All right, so he wasn't. So
give me 2003.
Well, this is the one after. This is the one after.
Well, Gilbert,
so this is 2004, 2005. So this is the year after. And it was Gilbert, Kwame, Damone Brown. Do you remember him from Syracuse?
No.
Jarvis Hayes,
Larry Hughes,
obviously. We remember Anton, Jared Jeffries. Anthony Peeler was here for a minute. Of course, Laurent Prophet.
Steve Blake.
Michael Ruffin. Samaki Walker. Peter John Ramos was here for a minute. Remember the big seven-footer? Was he from Puerto Rico or something?
He was Puerto Rican.
So what years did Jordan play, though? Because Jordan was like the executive for a while. Because I am looking. So Stackhouse... If you went to the 03 when Stackhouse was playing, that was when he played alongside Christian Laettner.
Was it earlier than that?
Was it 02?
Might have been. I mean, honestly, I can't even believe that Jordan played for us for 2 years. Anthony Goldwire, Juan Dixon, Brian Cardinal.
01-02 maybe?
There's Stack. How are we completely...
He was here in 01-02, 02-03.
And what did he average? Let's just go over the numbers. Did he average like around 20 both years?
Jordan averaged 22.9 in his first year here and 20 in his last year.
I mean, 23 he basically averaged what Bradley Beal averaged this year.
Right.
Yeah. Think about that. I mean, old as dirt. Just dropping 23.
I'll never forget just like wide open breakaways, missing dunks.
Didn't he have 50 in a game?
He did.
One of those years?
He did.
In the second year, I think they were in the 8th spot for the playoffs, and then he got hurt.
And then he did get hurt.
He missed like 12 games or something. Yeah.
Right.
I still remember doing a show from Hard Times Cafe. I think it was in Springfield, the day that he announced he was coming to the Wizards as an executive. And Jason, of all people, was so vehement that he was going to be the best talent evaluator ever.
He took Kwame, number one overall.
And he traded Rip Hamilton, who was up and coming for Stackhouse.
So he had to get his Tar Heel boy.
That was not exactly a talent-rich draft from what I remember. I believe Kwame was battling with who's the shot blocker from Compton straight out of high school. Can't remember. He's still
Tyson Chandler.
Oh, Tyson Chandler.
Yeah.
But Tyson Chandler would have been 100 times better.
Maybe Pau Gasol was also in that draft. I mean,
what year was that? Was that 03?
It was 01, wasn't it?
That was it.
Kwame draft, I believe it was 2001.
Hey, he's in the big three. Kwame Brown. At least he was last year.
Eddie Curry.
Eddie Curry ate himself out of the league.
He did.
And JP and I watched him on that show, Chicago Prep Hoops.
Yeah.
He was on when he was a high schooler.
That was a good show.
It was a great show. How come they don't do that show anymore? Does anybody follow around like the high school kids? They got to do that, man. It's like a hoop dream.
Hoop dreams like 2 weeks ago. It holds up.
It still holds up, right?
Holds up.
God, it's such a great freaking show.
Years.
I love that.
Can you imagine going to that school? When they show the scene of the public school.
Marshall High School? The Marshall Commandos? Yes.
Or their AG school?
I couldn't imagine going to that high school.
Especially when he came from private
school.
St. Joseph's. Yeah. Isaiah's
old ritzy
school.
And fancy.
Man, you're right. 01 was a terrible draft. Gasol might be the best player in that draft.
Sagan and Jope went 8th overall to the Cleveland Cavaliers. Just terrible.
Oh, man. Zach Randolph was in it, but I mean, that was a poo draft.
Anyway, Sarunas Jastikevičius could end up being an NBA coach.
Yeah, that'd be great.
Being interviewed by the Toronto Raptors.
I'll have some intrigue there. See how he does. I'm telling you, I can't believe he's matured. He's an icon.
I mean, we all mature to an extent.
I don't think I'm still waiting
to an extent.
Still waiting to.
All right. Phone number is 800-636-1067. Remember, 8:45, your chance to win tickets to go see U2. We have Mike Rizzo, Nats GM at 9, and Tim Bontemps on the NBA Finals coming up at 9:20. All right here on The Junkies.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.